It's a very big privilege, of course, to be speaking to you this morning at this very trying time. But I trust God that as He has always promised us, that He will do great and mighty things with us, such is what we will experience. And at the end of all this, none of us watching, none of us here will be missing. For we will all be counted worthy to be alive in Jesus' name. This morning, I'll be speaking on the title, Maximizing Opportunities in Disruptive Seasons. Maximizing opportunities in disruptive seasons. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." To give you a future and a hope. That tells me that there is no cause for me to worry, because I have a future in Christ and I have hope in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I said again, maximizing opportunities in disruptive seasons. So I'll quickly try and break this down. What is a disruption? A disruption is a disturbance or a problem which interrupts an event, an activity, or a process. A disturbance. Or it's a problem that interrupts an event, something that is supposed to happen in a way, when something else happens to disrupt the process or the flow or the sequence of activities, we call that a disruption. And as it is, it could be anything. It could be economical, it could be political, it could be socioeconomic. Even in global health, there is disruption. So disruption can come anytime, anyhow, anyway, for each and every one. But then it is clear for us to see that in it all, there is a future and a hope. That's why I read the book of Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 to encourage us ahead, that whatever disruption it is you are passing through, whatever disruptive process is happening in your life, in your finances, in your health, God has promised us a future and He has promised us a hope. So, when we say disruptive, it is a state where there is a cause or a tendency to cause disruption. So that's trying to describe disruptive. And then I will now try and explain what I meant by disruptive season. It is a period of time for which there is a disturbance or a problem interrupting an event, an activity, or a process. So that time frame where there is a disruption in what you would normally have done or what would normally have happened in its own course, that season, that period of time, is what I had called a disruptive season. Hey, let me tell you that disruption occurs across times, across countries, across cities, across individuals. Not only is the world currently undergoing a disruption globally, even countries, cities, homes, personal lives is also undergoing disruption. There is a disruptive process because of one thing. And that one thing is what has been called coronavirus, a pandemic that has taken over the world at this time. It's a viral attack, of course, which affects the respiratory functions, and it is highly infectious. In fact, from aerosols, from touching surfaces, you are most likely exposed to be infected. And that is one of the reasons why it has made it very, very fast in its transmission. It has gone across countries of the world Over 200 countries of the world have been infected by this viral attack. So who knew? Who knew? In fact, I'm sure if we had known, maybe we would have prepared for it. Maybe all the global health organizations, the World Health Organization, and all that would have prepared adequately for it. But it came and took us all by storm. Now, what are the implications? The implications have been massive. Between me and you, beloved, I share with you that billions of US dollars have been lost because of this disruption. Because of this pandemic of COVID-19, billions of dollars have been lost. Millions of jobs have been lost across different countries in the world. Even in economies that are well prepared for shock like this, millions of jobs have been lost. If we take account of it globally, I'm sure we'll be surprised to see how much of jobs that have been lost within this period of time. Oh, beloved, thousands of lives have been lost. Thousands of lives. In fact, it wearies the body when you read again and see new infectious cases, new deaths happening almost every hour because of this current disruption. Hundreds of countries have been affected globally, from Asia to Africa to America to Australia, across the globe. Various countries have been affected. Now, what is our biggest worry? Our biggest worry is fear. Fear. How am I sure that I will be safe or immune from this pandemic? So we begin to walk, when we see the figures on TV, when we see the figures on social media, we begin to express our fear. I hope I have not been infected. When you feel somehow, you begin to ask yourself, hey, I hope I am not exhibiting one of the symptoms of the COVID-19. Because you then begin to worry. Why? Because we have seen the number of global deaths. It is worrisome. Brothers and sisters, I speak to you right there in your homes, wherever you are watching. This all started first announced on 31st of December 2019 from a city called Wuhan in China, in the eastern part of China. That city hosts about 11 million people. Now, this is where it all started. And just within a frame of about 3 months, the World Health Organization had no choice than to declare it a pandemic in March 11, 2020. So as we speak, what are the figures saying? From latest information, we have about 2.9 million cases of this COVID-19 as we speak. And then we already have over 203,000 deaths, which is about 7% of death from infectious cases. Oh, we also have some good news. People are also recovering. Over 836,000 people have recovered globally from the infection. That's about 28% of people that have been infected so far. So what does this say in Nigeria, where we are, where some of our fears and worry is? In Nigeria, we already have over 1,000 cases, 1,182, with 35 deaths already. And that's some form of good news, as it were. Although there are concerns about testing, but that is putting Nigeria currently on about 2.9% versus what is happening globally at 7%. And in Nigeria, we already have 222 people that have recovered, which is just about 18% of those that have been infected. As it is, this disruption also has its own SWOT: strength, weakness, opportunities, and threats. But I'm going to focus this morning on the opportunities. With this disruption in global health affecting the global economy, countries are beginning to worry that if this persists, they were going to fall deep down below the expected GDP, which is going to mean that there's going to be negative economic growth. But then, there are opportunities for us to maximize. And that is the good news I brought to you this morning. The first opportunity is that we have life. L-I-F-E. We have life. And life means we're still alive and we're breathing. Now, if you're watching me, you are privileged to be alive this morning. Not because you have earned it, not because you have done anything different, but you have only enjoyed grace. You have only enjoyed the mercy of God. So because we are alive this morning, we are breathing, it is a great opportunity for us. If you are watching me and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you still have an opportunity, a very great opportunity to maximize this morning. Because you are not dead, you can run back to the Savior who told us in his word, in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, and he gave us his own begotten son, Jesus Christ. And he says, for everyone that believes in him, they won't perish, but they're going to have eternal life. Now, this is an opportunity for you to key into eternal life. This disruption in the world has opened up opportunity for you to give your life to Christ this morning. One of the things, one of the worries is that, hey, these are the end times. These are the last days. We begin to see sequence of this event. There will be earthquakes. There will be pestilences. There will be break out of these kind of diseases and strange things. But we still have a promise. He says he has a good plan for us to give us a future and a hope. So I should be excited this morning because I'm alive, and I'm alive with hope and a future in Jesus Christ. Now, if you are here this morning and you don't have a hope or future in Jesus Christ, you need to turn around. Make a 360 degrees turn around. Get yourself back on track and find out, how do I get close to the Master? Oh, death knocks every day, every hour. The Bible says the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We don't want the enemy to destroy your life. That's why we're making a call to you this morning. It's time to think deeply about it. You're only alive because God has shown you mercy. Oh, the 203,000 people that have died, they came into the year 2020 with a lot of hopes and aspirations. They believed that things were going to be done like this and like that. But alas, they are no longer alive. But because we have the privilege, we should be excited that this opportunity should not walk you by. Hey, beloved, I say again, this year it was projected that there are going to be about 60.2 million deaths. 60.2 million deaths this year. In 2010, it was projected to be about 54.6. And this year, 60.2 million. That means every single minute, 116 people will be losing their lives. As every minute ticks, as the time ticks and the clock ticks, 116 people every minute is losing their lives. Do you want to wait till you lose your life? You won't be able to come back again. The Bible says it is appointed unto man to die once, and after this is judgment. Don't wait till you die. You won't have an opportunity anymore. I speak to you this morning. I charge you and challenge you. Run to the Savior. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Irrespective of the depth of your sin, the depth of your wickedness, whatever it is you can think about that you have done and you think there is no more hope. It says there is a future and a hope. But you need to come to him. You need to come to him. You need to come to him. Come to Jesus this morning. He is the Savior. He is fully able to save. That was his mission. He gave his life. He laid down his life for us, like one would lay down his life for his friends. And then today he's seated at the right hand of God. But then he's calling unto you. Come unto me. Just like the prodigal son, you may have wandered away. The depth of your sin, like I said, could be very terrible. You might not even be able to tell anybody how much terrible things or wicked things you've done. But this morning, he's saying, I look beyond all that. I am giving you a future, and I'm giving you a hope. This morning, I just need you to think deeply. Bow your heart and speak to him. Ask for help, because only Jesus is able to save. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come unto me, he says. So irrespective of your depth of sin or how much you have gone into religion, you might be the biggest man even on the pulpit,
But if you have not met Jesus Christ, you are but a nobody. Your name is not written in the book of life. You need your name to be written in the book of life. And then it's also a big call to those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If 116 people die every minute, according to projections, I speak to you, it is time for us to wake up. It is time for us to rise up and take the gospel to everybody around us across different areas. We need to go into the bush. We need to go into the city. We need to go into the suburb. We need to go to the villages. We need to go to the cold region. We need to go to the desert. We need to go to the warm places so that the word of salvation can get to everyone. Unto us has been given a son whose name shall be called Savior. He will be the one to save the world. This he had done on the cross thousands of years ago, but his grace is still here. Please, let us keep walking, winning souls to the kingdom according to the charge that he has given unto us. Number two, the second opportunity. Remember I said the first opportunity is that we are alive. We can still make things happen. We can still turn the hands of time now because we have life. Those who are dead no longer have the opportunity. Number two, it is time. There is an opportunity to rebuild. Rebuild. Rebuild our spiritual life. Everyone had been running on a pace. We've been moving too fast. Riding the fastest of the cars. Living in the best of houses. Working in the most executive offices in the world. And which some today can no longer even access those places because of lockdown in various countries, in various cities. Oh, that beautiful office of yours today is currently locked up. Those big cathedrals we have built, some of them are locked up because there is a lockdown. It is an opportunity for us to reflect again in our lives and ask ourselves this question: am I still on track? Am I still walking in line with the expectations of God for my life? It's time to reflect on your spiritual life, your relationship with God. Do you still have the discipline? Do you still have the discipline he expects of you? When you wake up in the morning, are you still able to relate with the Father? Are you able to commune with the Father? Do you just wake up and run into the day? In the past, we would say, oh, we are rushing to work. We need to catch the first bus. We don't want to miss the first train. But now those trains, those buses are no longer running. Are you still having the discipline to wait in his presence? Or we still wake up and find ourselves in front of the TV? Because we want to catch up with what is happening in the world. We've forgotten the source. The source. Now God has helped everyone to take a deep reflection upon their lives. You've been running too fast. It's time for you to slow down. Take a pause and ask yourself the question, have I done enough to maintain my relationship with God? What am I doing now that I need to improve on? Oh, turn your Bibles with me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Let's take a peep into the word. Second Peter chapter 3. And I read verse 18. And it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. It says, which what? Grow in grace and knowledge. How do you grow in grace and knowledge? The aspect of growth in this regard is that you have a relationship that is improving day by day. A continuous improvement in your relationship with Christ, in your relationship with God. Not just that as you were given birth to, you remain a baby. Not being fed with milk every day, But you grow into full stature of the maturity in Christ, that you will be fed with solid food. And in that regard, you begin to evolve from a level of glory to a higher level of glory.
Brethren, this is a time to build up our relationship. This is a time to reflect and take a decision. No longer will I be caught unawares without maintaining my relationship with my father. Who does that? You wake up in the morning, you don't even say good morning to your dad. You walk past him and you walk to wherever. You come back to him to ask for what you need. No. There is an opportunity for us to move close to the father, to sit under the feet of the father, to learn from the father, to be grown, matured, and nurtured in the word. Make sure you take a very strong discipline at this time to build and improve your spiritual life. And so have other scriptures and texts you can look at. Hebrews chapter 6, you can read verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, you can also read it from verse 2 to verse 3. Another area we need to rebuild is our marital life. Marital life. God's plan was to provide man with a help that is meet for him. And so he provided the woman. And for most people, the world had moved too fast. And we have also evolved too fast that we have abandoned and wrecked our marital lives. The husband is running straight to make business. The wife is flying around to make ends meet. In the long run, we have lost relationship, even though we live in the same house, even though we live in the same home, we have lost relationship. You see husbands and wives that are separated, staying in separate rooms. This is a time for sober reflection. And interestingly, there are some people now, both the husband and the wife are at home. How are you living now? Because in the past, we have been so fast, moving at the speed of light, trying to make ends meet. But then, now there's a slowdown. There's a disruption. You need to sit back now and look into the eyes of your spouse and correct those errors that we have made in times past. For every woman that is out there that has been pained because the husband has not been there for her, we ask this morning that the Lord will speak peace into that marriage in the name of Jesus. So for us as couples, let's take a reflection. It is an opportunity. We have been able to stay together. Let us build on those things that made us fall in love at the first time. Those things that brought us together. Remember, the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. Many people are in marriage. They have not left their fathers and mothers, even to cleave to their wives. What is happening is that they are still living with their fathers and their mothers, even though they are in their own homes. They are still living with their fathers and mothers. Some are living with their friends. Some are living with concubines, even though they are in their homes. Because there is a disruption now, it is an opportunity for you to reflect deeply on your marriage. Your wife is there with you. If there are things you've done wrong, this is the time to amend it. This is the time to make it right. I speak life into dead marriages. I speak life into dead relationships. Oh, where pain and suffering and wailing and crying has been the order of the day. By virtue of this disruption in global health that is causing everyone to face lockdown, I declare that the Lord will bring new wine into marriages. Families will evolve to become better, to become stronger, making room for God in their homes, in Jesus' mighty name. It is also a time for us to rebuild our family life. Husbands and wives have been separated from their children for many years because we're trying to make ends meet. Now children are at home. The educational system is locked down because we do not want transmission of this infection. And therefore, children are at home now. This is the time to rebuild relationship with our children. This is the time to draw them close. This is the time to give them warmth. This is the time to teach them those things you have been unable to teach them because you were running to catch up with work. You were running to catch up with your business travel. You were running to catch up with a lot of things.
This is a time to slow down, a time to reflect. How much time have you invested in your children? How much time have you invested in those people that God has given to you to take care of? Let us think about this deeply. Oh, love is all encompassing. It's time to take a deep breath and say, Lord, I thank you for my children. I receive these ones for a good future and life. Begin to declare upon their life. Prophesy into them. Build them up. Mold them into what God wants them to be. And I trust God, He will do greater things than we think or imagine in Jesus' name. It's also a time to rebuild our social life. What kind of relationships have we built? Oh, the biggest hotels in the world. Those rooms are there lying, no one to occupy them. There are no conferences, there are no trainings, there are no seminars. There is no vacation. That industry is currently losing billions and billions of dollars globally. But then, in those days, it was flourishing. It was the hideout for many to have extramarital affairs. It was a hideout for many to have premarital affairs. Our social life, we just want to live our life the way we want. We want to do whatever we want with other people. Wickedness was the order of the day. Oh, high level of crime and all this. The social life had been battered. But God is speaking to each and every one of us now. As you're listening to me this morning, take a re-examination of your social life. How do you want to start impacting the world for good? How do you want to allow the light of Christ in you to shine forth? How do you want people to see you as the epitome of light? The Bible says a city that is set upon the hill cannot be hidden. If you have given your life to Christ, you've developed your relationship with God, you are a city that is set upon the hill. You can never be hidden. Great things are there for you to do to help improve the lives of other people. When you minister salvation to them, when you offer help at different levels, this is time of pandemic. People are unable to get to work. They need to eat. They need to feed. Different people at different times have invested a lot in trying to ensure that other people can eat. This is a time to support communities. This is a time to support the vulnerable. This is a time to impact the society. I trust God that He will do great things in our lives in Jesus' name. You can read Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2 to 3 and also Colossians chapter 3. Verse 14. So what's the third thing we're going to do that is an opportunity that we need to maximize? Is to be empowered. It's an opportunity to be empowered. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. Turn your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. In times of disruption, finances are going down. The economy is slowing down, but yet, it does not mean that nothing good is going to happen because His promises are there for us. Earlier this year, as a church, we took the promise of God that told us to be fruitful and multiply. So, why was God telling us to be fruitful and multiply, especially when this kind of storm is going to come? It was preparing you that this storm will not take you away. Rather than it take you away, you are going to be fruitful, you will multiply. I thought somebody was going to shout hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Beloved, this is an opportunity for us to be empowered. It is God that gives the power to get wealth. And He told us that we should be fruitful and multiply. So what is the opportunity for us to maximize here? Because there's a promise of hope that is waiting. This is a time for you to spend on research to find out what people need at this season. Like I said, it's a disruptive season. A lot of things are falling apart. This is a time people need to understand, what can I do to meet the needs of people? The first question is, what do people need? In the advent of this crisis, a lot of people went into the production of sanitizers because it became a need. It was not a want. This is not a time for you to be focusing on wants. It's a time to focus on the needs of people. The needs of people. Oh, if you are a tailor and you are still hoping that you want to sew wedding gowns, you will wait a bit more, because until this scourge is over, you might not be able to have that. But it is an opportunity for you to go into the production of nose mask. Massive production. Even if you are selling it at 100 naira per day, per one, you can sell 100 in a day, which means you can be empowered economically. Brethren, like I said, this is a time to provide solution based on needs of people. Think deeply. Look around you. There is a need you can meet. There is a problem you can solve. You can even leverage on technology. Oh, I began to see that education is not even free. You want to log on and subscribe to a site online, you need to pay money or have an access code after you have paid before you can log on. Even to teach kids, it's now monetized, because that is where the opportunity is now. The children can't go to the classroom. The children need to also continue to learn. And so people are making a good use of this time, of this opportunity. They are maximizing it by providing solutions like that. Digital solutions, online solutions that can meet the need of people. It only means that we need to think about it deeply and find out what we need to do. If he has given us the power to get wealth, he will give you the power of the creativity, because it's a covenant. You have a future and a hope. He will give you that creativity that will bring about the solution that the world needs at this time. This is also a time to manage resources very well. And the difference between when people lose fortunes is because at one stage there was a bit of mismanagement. Somebody lost direction somewhere, somehow. Now this is a time of deep reflection on how well do you manage resources. This is not a time for extravagance. This is not the time to live above your means. In fact, this is a time to trim down. Trim down. Fit everything as needed, so you can be able to save more, conserve more, especially when opportunities come. You need to have funds to be able to push into it to maximize your profit. So this is a time for you to manage resources very well. Acquire only what you need, not what you want. And this is a time for you to understand the root cause of problems around you, the root cause of issues, and begin to find how it impacts and the implication on the society or the people around you. Then you'll be able to figure out what is the need you will be meeting. This is a time for innovative disruption to problem solving. Digital disruptions. We need to begin to think. The age has been preparing us, but somehow we need to move fast now to be able to remain fitted into the scheme of things. If the church had not prepared itself to be online, possibly today, you might not be able to see what is happening, because churches are shut down. People are unable to move. But then you can log on to a site. You can log on online and watch what is happening. It is because of a digital transformation at one time or the other. This is a time for us again also, wherever we are, to think about it. What digital disruption can we go into? What innovative disruption can we launch ourselves into? At the advent of e-commerce in Nigeria, when the big giants came in, the Jumias of this world, the Kongas of this world, it changed the face of retailing. Our brick and mortar shops began to experience sales decrease, because everybody could sit in the comfort of their homes and make orders and they deliver it to them. What happened was that disruption enables brick and mortar stores to re-evolve. They had to re-strategize. They had to re-plan. How can we make ourselves relevant even with these disruptions? Some went into e-commerce themselves, trying to find their own place in the scheme of things. This is a time for you to think about it for your business, for your personal activity, whatever it is you are doing. Think about it. You need to evolve new ideas. And you have a father that gives you the power to get wealth. He's going to deposit in you the creativity that will bring about solutions to world problems in Jesus' name. So we're going to quickly look at disruptions as reflected in some Bible characters. Let's look at the life of the young man called Moses. He was not an Egyptian, but he was raised an Egyptian because of the circumstances surrounding his birth. But he knew when he got the call, he had to be the savior for his people. How did this all happen? Joseph, a fantastic young man, was sold into slavery by his brothers, found himself in Potiphar's house. While trying to live right, had an opportunity to sleep with Potiphar's wife, but what did he do? He ran for his dear life and left his coat, which put him in trouble. He was in jail, but yet God was with him. He found favor, and God gave him revelation. He was able to interpret the dreams of two people that were in trouble in the house of Pharaoh. With that interpretation of dreams, that enabled them, one of them, to go back while the other was killed. And he remembered Jacob after many years. Joseph. And then Joseph was able to have an opportunity to interpret the dream for Pharaoh. And then from there, he became the prime minister, by providing a solution to the problem Pharaoh had. Oh, some people are going to provide solutions to problems this morning, and they will rise to the top in the name of Jesus. Wherever you are seated, God is going to put in you resources that will change the world in the name of Jesus. And so, Joseph was able to bring back his brothers where there was famine in the land, and brought them to the land of Egypt. And they had a place. There was a Pharaoh that knew them. But then disruption came. A season of disruption came. There arose a Pharaoh that didn't know them. And then trouble started. They began to put them under pressure. They began to deal with them. They began to punish them. And they knew they needed a savior. And Moses was the savior that God had appointed to take the Israelites out of the hands of the raging Pharaoh, and he was to lead them to the promised land, even though he had his own errors later. But there was a disruption. But in the midst of the disruption, when a Pharaoh that didn't know the Israelites came up, God raised a Moses that will lead them out of that disruption. That is a learning point. Another learning point was while they were on the seas, the disciples were there. And then the storms begin to come, raging fire and brimstone. And everything looked as if the world was going to perish. And the disciples were wondering, why will this man be sleeping when there was trouble? But Jesus will forever continue to sleep because he is the rest we need. He rose up. They went to him and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? They went to him and he told them, oh, you guys, why are you guys like this? Okay, let me make things easy for you. And he spoke to the winds, and the wind obeyed, and the storm was calm. And they were like, wow, what kind of great guy is this? Such that the winds and the storm obey him. There was a disruption that was about to take their life. The normal course of sailing is that it will be smooth. You navigate through the tide. But when it becomes very stormy and the ship begins to shake, oh, there could be a shipwreck. And when there's a shipwreck, there will be loss of lives and property. But Christ was there waiting. He was resting because he is the rest. That's why he said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Why are you laboring when there is a savior? Why are you laboring when there is a rest? It is time for you to go to the Father. The one that can calm the sea, it will change the disruptions in your life in Jesus' name. Oh, the apostles were also shaken. They had their own season of disruption. They had a time when there was almost nothing for them because their leader and master was taken away. He was taken captive, and then eventually he was crucified on the cross. Oh, everybody must have hidden themselves. Even Peter, in the face of his capture, couldn't look at a 13-year-old girl. He was so afraid, he had to deny Jesus. Oh, unfortunately, Jesus had to go because there was a fortunate thing to come back. He needed to go so that he can bring life. And so he was crucified for our sins. He had to bear the cross. He had to take away the pain from every one of us. He had to bear the pain, even though it was not easy. At a time, he spoke and said, "I wish that this cup should pass over me." But he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And at the will of God being done, he came back and spoke to his disciples and promised them. He gave them a future and a hope. He said, "I will send my comforter to you." And he did. While the apostles were waiting, they received the Holy Ghost. He changed the terrain of the ministry work in the book of Acts of Apostles. Everything changed tremendously. The apostles began to speak to thousands of people. They were no longer afraid. Beloved, where are you today? What is the disruption that is going on in your life personally? Spiritual disruption, economic disruption, marital disruption. There is an opportunity for you if you think deeply about it. You need to maximize the opportunity you have today. Think about it. The Holy Spirit has been left for us as a comforter and help. He is to be there to help you do things. When the rest is there, you will continue to enjoy the pleasures of the Father. Dearly beloved, I speak to you this morning. Which opportunity are you missing? It's time to maximize opportunities. Three things I had said. One, because we are alive, we have an opportunity to run back to the Father. It's an opportunity for us to rebuild. It's also an opportunity for us to be empowered, to become better than what we are today. Can you please close your eyes and bow down your head and speak? Which opportunity is there at this very trying time of COVID-19? With the figures staggering day by day, increasing. Oh, there are still opportunities for people to become better, to become stronger, to become bolder, to impact the society more. Where do you stand? As a Christian, this is not a time for you to be fearful. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Why not build up your faith? Take up the challenge. The Master says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." If God has spoken to you this morning, you know you are a sinner, wherever you are, you know you are a sinner. You have been living in sin. It's time for you to give your life to Jesus. You need to forsake your sins. Commit your ways to the Lord. Ask for help with your sin. And I speak this morning for everyone whose heart is bowed this morning, who is willing to give his life for you, Lord, who is willing to let go of sin, who is willing to forsake the sin and step into your marvelous light. I decree, O Lord, that you will step into their lives. You will wash away their sins. You will call them forth as sons and daughters and take them upon yourself and keep them and protect them, that no evil shall befall them. As you have promised us in your word, you said you will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. This year, you promised us that we should be fruitful and multiply. Therefore, we are not afraid. We are not moved. Even when the figures of death is moving, you said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Every death sentence is passing over anyone watching me this morning. Wherever you are, death sentence is passing over you. In the name of Jesus, Christ will do a new thing in your life and it will spring forth. Suddenly the world will see a new you because you will be empowered, because you will become better, because you are alive, you will do greater things for God. This is our commission. This is our reflection. Thank you, Lord, because you will do greater things and much more than we think or imagine, even upon our lives. We bless your name, Lord. Glory, 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 hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Can we put our hands together wherever we are to appreciate the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, for coming live into our lives this morning, speaking to us expressly in his own words. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. Thank you. For this land will be healed. For the world will be healed from this global pandemic. But Lord,
For as many as you have called by your name, none of them will be missing. None of them will be missing. Your blood will prevail over judgment in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our dear Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.